Good evening, Patriots. In this fight, and since we've begun this fight, we've increasingly become aware of the horrors in which so many do to children. And we focus, rightfully so, on the many that are trafficked or destroyed by despicable means, whether it's in spirit or in physicality. And it pains us all, knowing that children are the greatest gift that God gives us to cherish and to protect. And we all understand very clearly that the powers that be that run this world see children in such a despicable way because they see us all as cattle, but children are the most vulnerable and the most innocent, and in their eyes, the most pure to exploit. What we are not paying enough attention to right now is the damage that's being done by institutions and parents in the enslavement that's going on with these children and inoculating them with the fears of a fake virus and enslaving them with a mask and damaging them in a way that will take years to repair. Emotional damage is not something that goes away quickly. In fact, arguably, a physical damage is easier to heal from than emotional scars. And I think we can all attest to that in one way or another. And in this period of time that we're in, we are living in a period where the fears that parents have, which are rooted in their selfishness and their rejection of God, are now being placed upon the shoulders of their children in such a way that children are now becoming accepting of the fears that are floating around in the world of propaganda and brainwashing. They have themselves so consumed with their own life, so consumed with their own material needs, and so rejecting of the strength and healing of Christ himself, have now done the most greatest damage, the greatest disservice to the gift that God gave them. Enslaving them and effectively torturing their souls through the mask and the fear of a fake pandemic and the belief of salvation through an injection of a substance that carries with it gene-altering and genetic-alternating substances. Leila Santra is a woman who has taken on this fight in a very bold way. She has the Setner Center, and the Setner Center is down in Miami, and it's a school for kids and was designed to be a school to enhance the loving and strength of children in their natural form to keep them away from the evils of the society and to raise up a new generation of leaders that would be based on love and their relationship with God. Recently, when this first began, she rejected the mask. And that in itself was quite an issue, meaning that she rejected the mask requirements at the school and left it be to the parents' choice. And most recently, after reviewing the information presented to her by many of the frontline doctors, she took a position, and I should say, after reviewing the information that has been assimilated and collected by the frontline doctors, she took a position that I think is bold and quite frankly, on the front edge of this fight. And she told her teachers that were injected with this substance that they would not be able to touch children during this period of time, that she wanted no contact or risk that the children might be infected by something that was transferring from the virus or transferring from the vaccine itself. New York Times ran a hit piece on her, and since then it has been all-out warfare to destroy her, to destroy her school, and to destroy her reputation and her marriage and their lives in Florida by a seditious media that can be nothing can be referred to nothing less than Satan's whore. The media has waged a holy war against them for being so bold to protest the idea that we should be lockstep with the pharmacological ideas, the pharmaceutical nightmares that we're being put through. And so in so doing, she's been under heavy fire. So tonight, I'm very honored to have her interview on the show. We had talked earlier this morning, and it's a very moving interview. And I'd ask that you keep your prayers up for her. And I'll post underneath the show when it goes up where you can reach out and support her. The biggest thing I would say is this is time that we must rise. This is time that we must go out into the digital space and do the warfare that we know how to do. This is time to take on every single media article and crush it with comments, prayers, and truth. It's time to take on every troll that thinks it's okay to subjugate children to the torture of masks and injections and destroy them. When I say destroy on social media, you know what I'm talking about. To leave them so surrounded by truth and the power of God that they are left speechless and their comments look like weak shadows of anything without substance. So, this is the time tonight to listen to this story and to stand boldly. And now to take this story and to fuel your passion, because at risk right now is something greater than our nation. It's greater than our own fears. It's the children of the next generation and the generations to come. It's God's gift to the world that they are trying to destroy at the core of all this. And from the parent to the pharmaceutical companies, they are those that are embracing that tyranny. They are all guilty. So let us begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this time that we come together. We are grateful for the family that we have built in a very unique space, a space where we can bridge time and space to come together in a forum to share the needs of the many, to hear the voices of those that can't speak, and to make a position of strength as we stand forward boldly in this fight and not waver. Let us raise up the light on this darkness. Let us shine it deeply into the chasm so that it can't hide. Let us expose it for what it is. And in the end, let us be victorious in your holy name. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So without further ado, patriots, let me introduce you to Layla Santer. Layla Santer, you have become quite the name in the media recently, and I'm very proud to have you on the show. So why don't we begin by talking a little bit about yourself and what your background is to give some context to the patriots, and then we'll get into your story.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Scott. I appreciate this time, and I'm excited to be on your show. So a little background. My husband's David Santer. We sold our company 3 years ago. We have two kids, a six-year-old and a three-year-old. And when she was 2 years old, I was in New York at the time, and we were trying to figure out which school to put our daughter in. And we toured about 15 schools in New York, and I just knew in my heart, this is not going to work. These schools, you know, I could just feel they were indoctrination camps. I could feel that it wasn't, I didn't want to put my child in a place like that for 8 hours a day. And so I looked at my husband, you know, we're both entrepreneurs. I was the CFO of the company. We had sold at the time. And I said, you know, let's just do this ourselves. Let's hire amazing experts, hire incredible educators, and we will build what we are looking for. And so that's where we are today. I'm the CFO and founder of Centner Academy. That's C-E-N-T-N-E-R Academy. There's another one that's spelled similar. So mine has two N's. Centner Academy in Miami Beach, Florida. And we have almost 300 students. And our school is really based on mindfulness, emotional intelligence. It's all about connecting kids to themselves, to each other. Lots of love. These kids are always hugging each other. They're hugging their teachers. It's just my focus is their happiness. It's their soul. And it's teaching them really focusing on the social emotional part, teaching them that the power of their mind is limitless, teaching them, you know, things like how to eye gaze. We had an amazing parent bonding week with our kids where the parents and the kids got to eye gaze and we blindfolded the parents and the kids whispered beautiful things in their ears and, you know, they did sound bowl healing. And at the end of each session, we did it with every grade, started with first through eight. And later on, we did it with the preschool kids. The older, the first through eighth grade, the parents were all crying. I mean, they just, you know, they had this 2 hours of being able to just put technology away, drop everything, and just focus on their children, stare into their eyes. And their children had the opportunity to whisper things into their ears, things that their parents, you know, working so hard, doing all these things for your kids. And then, you know how kids are, they whine and they complain. They never really sit down and take time to say, thank you for this. I'm grateful for this. I love you for this. I'm sorry for this. And it was just a magical, it was a magical event. And it's really what I want to get our world back to. I want to get them back to being connected, because when you're connected and you're living in this calm, peaceful, happy place, you cannot harm others, first of all. And second of all, when you're in that calm and peaceful place, you can problem solve so much, just so easily. You can think creatively. You're a lot more open-minded. And that's really what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help shape and form a bunch of future leaders that are change makers, that are, they're so calm and peaceful that that coming up with solutions to make our world a better place is easy.
So this last few weeks, or last few days anyway, has been a little bit tumultuous for you. You took a position to tell your teachers, as I understand, that they had to avoid physical contact if the teachers had made a choice of accepting this injection, an injection which we all know is still in its experimental phases, which has a lot of consequences we have yet to determine. Tell us a little bit about that decision and where that's led.
Yeah, so let me back up. Maybe I'll give you, I need to give you a little bit more context about our school. So a lot of schools are removing religious exemptions and medical exemptions from their schools. So, you know, Florida is an amazing place and they have something called a religious exemption. So if you don't want to vaccinate your child, you can submit a religious exemption. Well, individual schools are allowed to take that exemption away. I don't know how they're allowed to do it, but they do it. So my school, because I'm all about health freedom, I'm all about your body, your choice, I accept the religious exemptions. And I allow parents to make that decision if they want to vaccinate their child or not. Okay, so come this COVID injection, and yes, it's not FDA approved. It's still in experimental phase. When it came out, I had teachers that wanted to get the injection, and I supported their body, their choice, because at the end of the day, it is their body, their choice. Well, it wasn't until not this past weekend, but the weekend before, I started hearing all of these claims about unvaccinated people that have been around somebody that recently got vaccinated with the COVID injection, and we're having all sorts of issues from 10-year-olds starting their period, from little babies getting insanely high fevers, having to go to the hospital. One teacher of mine, her aunt and uncle got the COVID vaccine, and 2 days later, their one-year-old baby had insanely high fever and started having seizures and had to be hospitalized. And so when I heard this, you know, I went into panic mode. I mean, the number one thing for me is the safety of our children at school and our community at school. That's everything to me. And so I went into high gear. I got on the phone some amazing doctors in our community, Dr. Sherry Timpenny, Dr. Pilevsky, Dr. Christiane Northrup, and I said to them, okay, what is going on? This was a Sunday afternoon. You all are the experts. What are you hearing? What are you seeing? What do I do? And so after spending hours on the phone with them, having hours of discussion, they're saying, something is going on. I mean, they're giving me firsthand claims that they had received themselves about being in close contact with somebody that was vaccinated and they were having issues. And they said, listen, here's the problem. The patent clearly states that there are ingredients in this injection that are not listed. So they said, so we don't know what's going on, but what we do know is this needs to be further investigated. And so their recommendation to me was, you really should not let anybody else get this injection until you figure it out, until the medical community figures this out. So I said, okay. So I had an emergency meeting with my teachers, and I explained to them everything that was going on. And I said, and this is actually a leaked video on all over the internet, because apparently one of my teachers, somebody was recording the Zoom video. I'll actually share that with you later. And it was of me basically saying, look, prior to April 22nd, nobody had any idea that taking this injection could impact others. So if you got it, you got it. I'm not firing you, but I have to draw the line in the sand and basically say no one else can get it from this point forward until we figure out what's happening. And, you know, in hindsight, I could have been a little bit gentler, which is where I'm at now, which is everybody just needs to pause and hold and take a time out, because we only have 6 weeks left of school. So the conclusion is still the same, which is we need to hold for the next 6 weeks until we get out of school, see what more information has come about, because we just don't know what we don't know. And my responsibility is to all the children in my building. I have almost 300 kids. And I'm not saying that there's a correlation, because I don't know. But when you have thousands of claims that are happening all over, you cannot ignore them. And then here's a really interesting thing that just happened 2 days ago. You might have seen this all over the internet. Somebody got a hold of Pfizer's protocol for the trial study document. And in this protocol, I'll send it to you, Scott, if you don't have it. On pages 67 through 69, it clearly states, if you are near somebody that's in the trial and this unvaccinated individual is experiencing side effects, and it even mentions through skin contact and inhalation, that needs to be reported to the investigator and put in the file. I'm assuming they're going to further investigate it. That's why you put it in the file. And so I got this information and I'm like, so they knew all along that there is a possibility. And of course they've been hiding it. And when this came out, when my video was leaked and my letter was leaked, I was attacked, viciously attacked. I had reporters telling me, what do you mean? The CDC says it's perfectly safe. The CDC says this is misinformation and it's debunked. This is before I had this document. So, and that you're spreading misinformation. And I said to them, listen, all I'm saying is there are claims being made. And if there are claims being made, it must be further investigated. You cannot say it's misinformation and you cannot pass it by like it's nothing. These are children's lives at stake. These are people's lives at stake. But what the media is doing, because they're a clever band of, I call them assassins, you know? There's somebody like me that comes out and is speaking logic and is speaking against their narrative, against the propaganda that pharma has been pushing, and they go full-blown attack to make me look like a Looney Tune, to make me look like I'm a conspiracy theorist, to make me look like I'm spreading misinformation, and to try and destroy my school and cancel me. And, you know, this whole thing has really been heartbreaking for me, not because of their attacks on me, because I'm punching back, but it's my kids at the school who are in heartbreak right now. It's my teachers who are in heartbreak right now. Because yes, maybe there's one teacher that was trying to hurt me, but majority of my teachers are beautiful God's creatures. They're amazing human beings that love our children, love. And I love them. And I love the kids at the school. Scott, my husband and I are retired. I don't need to run a school. In fact, my school loses money, but I'm okay with that because I do this for love. And I do this because I do this for the happiness of these kids and my faculty. So to see that I had one bad apple in the organization that instead of dealing with this in the community, decided to bring in the assassins who have then created a swarm of disruption, okay? And again, I'll say, I could have handled it smoother, and that I take responsibility for. I could have said it in a different way, and I take responsibility for that. But the fact that somebody let them in to attack our entire school and try and jeopardize this beautiful mission that we are on, this beautiful environment that we have created where, Scott, since I opened the school, I do not mandate my kids to wear masks. And that was a huge battle, by the way. I had parents angry with me, angry. I do not require my kids to socially distance at school. I do not put plexiglass around their desks. I do not force them to do any of this. Yeah, I have some kids that wear masks at school, but it's their choice. Because again, if their parents want that, that's their body, their choice. Who am I to tell their parents they can't put a mask on their child? But for all the rest of the kids that can't breathe in the masks, for my teachers who are spending 8 hours a day talking, can you imagine talking for 8 hours a day in a mask? They can't do it. And they were coming to me, Layla, I have a massive migraine. And I'm like, fill out the mask exemption. You do not need to wear that mask because your health is more important to me. And when we started this in September, it was super risky. I told my husband, I said, David, listen, you know, it was a risky move that I'm doing right now. So if they come in and arrest me, make sure you bail me out fast because I don't know how much I'll last. But I'm willing to put my life on the line to make sure that these kids live a normal life. Because what's happening with all of these crazy COVID rules that they're doing to our children, it's simply criminal. You are stripping humanity away from our children, our next generation. You are treating them like obedient slaves. You are taking away their happiness. You are banning their ability to smile and share a smile with a friend. There are schools that won't let kids hug each other. They won't let kids speak to each other during lunch. And when I hear these stories and when I see these stories, Scott, I cry. I cry because it's not right. And the fact that we have so many parents that are okay with this, it hurts even more, because this is the next generation that's going to save our world and not allow it to be burned into destroyed. And if we are training these kids right now to be obedient slaves, how do you think they're going to answer to tyranny when they're adults? They're going to just follow obediently. And this is why the world needs to know we need to stop. As adults and as parents, we must fight back. We must say no. We must go to our schools and say, if this is what you're going to do to my child, I'm homeschooling, I'm out. And take back our power. Save our children for our future. There's zero evidence. There's zero scientific data to say that putting your child in a mask for 8 hours a day and socially distancing them is protecting them from anything. It's ludicrous. It's nonsense. And it's ruining their lives. I've been getting a lot of new kids coming in from schools where they have all of these crazy rules. And I had a little five-year-old come, and we do these shadow days where they get to spend a day with us. And this little girl was at a school where they had all of these rules. Masks for 8 hours a day, no talking during lunch. They remove their playgrounds because playgrounds have germs, so they can't play in the playground. They can't hug each other. She comes into our school, and after 30 minutes, she had a panic attack, and we had to call her mom, and she had to leave. 5 years old, would not take off her mask, and was paralyzed when she was in a room with a bunch of free children playing and laughing and hugging each other. It was abnormal to her. So if parents don't wake up and realize that this is not okay, by them thinking, well, it's better for my child to be in school than to be at home, I'm here to tell them they're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. Find a small group of 10 other parents and form your own pod. Pull your children out of school. Because the schools that are doing this don't care about your child's well-being. They are blindly following. They're blindly doing as they're told. And they are blindly leading your children to the slaughter. And our children need us to fight back, Scott, because they can't do it. Sorry. Topic makes me very emotional.
There's no apologies. We need this sort of passion, and your passion's admirable, and it's what makes a difference in the world. God gives us children to protect them. We are their stewards. We are their protectors. We are the ones that are the voice for those that can't speak. So when we have our parents submitting themselves to the tyranny and then forcing that tyranny upon the gift that God gives us to protect, they themselves are guilty of a sin, a great sin. It's a very sad statement to which your testimony here, because it's a heartbreaking statement to hear that children are being so damaged at such a young age. And so there's a great deal of respect I'm extending, and I'm sure the Patriots will share the admiration for the fight that you're taking on. So, Layla, tell us a little bit about what's happened in the media, because obviously you had someone on your staff who is a product of this modern culture that feels that instead of being able to engage in a respectful adult manner to have a conversation, or better yet, to simply make a choice not to be part of an institution that they are part of, they just want to ruin it all for everybody because they didn't get their way. It's a product of the me culture rather than a culture centered in faith in God. So tell us a little bit about how this evolved, because obviously the video was leaked and then the New York Times ran an article. And from there, I think it was basically like throwing gas on the flames, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. This has gone, it's gone wild, you know, and I will say, we have a lot of supporters within our school. We have teachers who love our school. We have parents who love our school. And some of the people have done interviews, and I told them, when you do an interview, make sure someone else is recording it. So that way, if they kind of stretch what was said or change things around, then we've got evidence of otherwise. And I had one of the coaches gave an interview on one of the shows. I can't remember which one it was, CNN or CNBC or whatever, whichever one it was, I don't remember. And he gave a beautiful interview. And they took his beautiful interview and they took one little sentence and then they just clobbered the rest of it with hate. You know, conspiracy theorists, misinformation. How dare I even suggest a thing? You know, how dare I not allow a teacher to get these injections? When in fact they don't say anything when you have thousands of schools across the country who are firing teachers left and right for not getting this vaccine. Yet I'm a school that does the opposite and you go full-blown attack on me. How dare I even consider not hiring somebody that was vaccinated? How dare I even consider the idea to stop a teacher from getting this vaccine when science doesn't justify it? And I've been saying to the people interviewing me, what do you mean when science doesn't justify it? This is a walking science experiment. We are still in trial studies. We don't know what we don't know. So why aren't we having a conversation? Instead of trying to slam me down and shut me up and cancel me out, Why isn't there a panel of medical experts that are looking into all of these claims and having an intelligent conversation instead of telling me that the CDC says it's safe and effective? You can't say that because it's not FDA approved yet. So you don't have enough data. You're in data analysis mode right now. So people should be taking these claims very seriously. And if at the end of the day, the claims are nothing and you've proven that they're nothing, great. We did our job. We're in a free society where we should be able to be having this dual conversations of both sides. Yet somehow we live in a world, which I never thought we'd get to, where the second you have an opposing view that goes against anything that pharma is trying to do, you are blacklisted, blackballed, and deemed a conspiracy theorist and someone who spreads misinformation. And that's, frankly, that's a scary place for our world, our country, America, which I love to head. Our country is one of the last free democratic societies. People flee to come to our country from all over the world because they know this is a place where when something is wrong, we figure it out and we fix it. But unfortunately, right now, that's not what's happening. And so I've got the New York Times and the Miami Herald are interviewing everybody. They're interviewing my husband's friend from when he was 13 years old to try and dig up dirt on us. They're trying to write hit pieces on us, okay? To tear us to shreds so they can silence us, shut us up, and shut our school down. That's what they're trying to do. Well, they can't shut our school down because we don't live off the income off of our school. So, you know, but what they can do is try and destroy our reputation. They can try and make the community miserable, which is what they're trying to do. And I need to fight back. I need to fight back and say, no, my school has a zero tolerance for bullies. Zero tolerance. The media is one big bully on one side with one perspective and one viewpoint. Why? Because we all know who their big boss is. And that's what's running our country right now, and that's what's scary. There are colleges that are forcing college students to get this COVID-19 injection. College students have a 99.9974% survival rate, Scott. And you have a higher chance of being severely injured or dying from this injection. Why isn't the world in uproar over this? How can we be okay with this? Why isn't the media all over that? And yet those people are completely silenced. I have parents that are pulling their children out of college because of it. And yet no one cares about those kids. Yet they want to try and clobber me and destroy me because I'm telling my teachers to please, I beg you, wait. We don't know what we don't know. And I have a very young, I have a healthy team of teachers who are all in the 99.98 survival rate club, most of them. And they have strong immune systems because, you know, we really preach a healthy living at our school. You know, we're all gluten-free, sugar-free, dairy-free. We're a super healthy school. And, you know, last year when we had teachers and students getting COVID, none of our teachers were hospitalized. None of our students were hospitalized. Many of them were asymptomatic. We had no issues because our focus is not living in fear. Focus on your body. Focus on your health. And you will overcome it. And that's what happened. I'm a walking science, a research project. My school is a walking research project. We did all the right things. We got through it. And I think we had maybe one COVID case in the last 5 months, maybe two. And we didn't do all the crazy things that the other schools were doing. But people don't understand that the reason they are doing this to the schools has nothing to do with protecting kids from COVID. Nothing to do with it. It's to beat them down and dehumanize them. And until we as parents and adults stand up and fight for their rights, fight for their ability to be free, fight for their ability to be the kids that they were meant to be and nurture and save their soul, we're not going to be headed down a good path. And so my call to action to all the freedom-loving, children-loving people in the world is fight for your children. And don't stop until this is done, until they've removed all these restrictions from your children, your child's life. And until they do, don't put them back into that indoctrination camp.
As you stated, a lot of what you're facing is you're facing the beast itself, which is Big Pharma. I think it's interesting, and I'm going to read a couple quotes. One is from Rudolf Steiner, written in 1917. The spirits of darkness are going to inspire their human hosts, in whom they will be dwelling, to find a vaccine that will drive all inclination towards spirituality out of people's souls when they are still very young, and this will happen in a roundabout way through the living body. Today, bodies are vaccinated against one thing or another. In the future, children will be vaccinated with a substance which it will certainly be possible to produce, and this will make them immune so that they do not develop foolish inclinations connected with spiritual life. Foolish here, of course, in the eyes of the materialists. Rather profound considering it was written in 1917.
Wow.
One more is by Aldous Huxley, which is Tavistock Group, California Medical School, 1961. There will be in the next generation or so a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies, so that people will in fact have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it, because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods, and this seems to be the final revolution. And I would say that you are sitting at the edge and at the front end of the final revolution. The place of our children, it can never be more important, and the gift that God gives us requires us to stand and to defend His children, those that have no voice, and you're doing just that. So what is the way ahead for you here? Because you're obviously going to be continuing to press into this beast that's trying to gut your school and gut your reputation. The one thing I can say is getting your message and your voice out to the patriot community is significant. I think what we all deeply have to reflect on as well is how divided our local communities are, and ultimately, as you say, how unbelievably brainwashed our parents are. Your reference earlier to the fact that parents are working very hard is true, but sadly they're working very hard most of the time for poor motives, meaning that they're geared towards accumulation of things, personal wealth, and have a complete detachment from the foundation and reason that we are here, which is our relationship and living through God. Because of that, the me generation has seemingly overtaken much of this world and much of these communities, to where the idea of a fear of an unknown virus, which, as Dr. Carrie Madej has stated, no one even has a sample of this, quote, coronavirus, and yet people are willing to accept a mRNA, a synthetically generated strain of RNA, into their body to protect themselves, which science hasn't even found a sample of. It's obviously an agenda for the vaccines. So what is your direction here ahead, and how do you intend to navigate forward to maintain your position and essentially protect these children?
So my plan that I have right now, I'm actually working with GreenMedInfo, Sergey. I'm sure you know of him. He's a spectacular human being. That's an amazing freedom fighter, him and his amazing wife, Kelly Brogan. I love them both dearly. Dr. Sherry and Christiane and just Dr. Larry, just some amazing freedom fighters. But GreenMedInfo is helping me put together an incredible PowerPoint presentation that will have all sorts of information on masks and socially distancing kids at school, the psychological impact, the emotional impact, the physical impact, and it's going to be backed by studies after studies after studies. So it's basically a PowerPoint that we're going to equip parents with, so they can take this PowerPoint, they can rally parents all across the world together and educate them and become their own groups of freedom fighters. Just like in Arizona, there was a group of amazing parents that stormed in and took over the school board and reversed the mask mandate. We need to do that all across the world. And that's what I'm going to be speaking about, as to as many places as I can possibly speak, Scott. So if you know anybody else that I can be interviewed with, I want to get this message. I want to get this message out. I'll have this document. It will probably be done in the next 3 weeks. I'm going to present it myself for the first time. And then I'm going to be handing it over to whoever wants to take control of their community and be their own freedom fighters, to fight for their children's rights, to fight for their children's future, and to save them from this tyranny. So my plan and my goal is that by September of next year, we have made enough waves all across the world that this tyranny is stopped and our kids are back to a normal life.
What is your assessment when we talk about the five-year-old example of a girl that was in a panic attack after a short time visiting a school that allowed for freedom? How do we bring those children back? How do we get them to understand and release themselves from that fear to truly live in this world? Because that's a very formative age. In fact, the Jesuits focus on that age when they indoctrinate their kids to be future Jesuit assassins. What is your thoughts on how that can be undone?
Some massive love and connection and putting them with other kids that have not been brainwashed and indoctrinated yet. Like, this kid should have stayed in our school. The only way to reverse the damage that's being done is to surround them with other kids that aren't living in fear, that are still embraced in love and connection, that still have that light. I tell you, this kid, her light was gone. Her light was gone. And this is what evil wants, Scott. This evil wants to take the light away from our children. So, and I'll tell you, the longer parents wait, the harder this is going to be to reverse. So I don't care that we only have 6 weeks of school left. Take your children out now. I had a parent remove their kid from my school. Actually, I just got an email this morning because they're so unhappy. This is a parent that's child has never taken off her mask. They won't allow the child to take off the mask. This parent was super unhappy with me about my mask policies. Very unhappy. And I was already planning to take their kid to another school next year because I don't follow CDC guidelines, which I'm okay with. It's his child, his choice. But he pulled his kid out of my school because of the fact that the thing that I had done with the teachers, and I have media everywhere, and his child is now unhappy. And again, for me, it breaks my heart that any child is having to deal with, you know, seeing this on the media or on Twitter or anywhere, or walking in and there was a camera crew in our building, around our building for 2 days. And that did have an impact on their hearts. But to pull your kid out is not necessarily from this type of environment. And then go, I'd rather have my kid in that type of environment where, you know, they're going to put my kid in masks, where the school owners are not fighting for their teachers' rights. They're fighting for the teacher to get mandatory vaccines. You know, and so if that's what they want, that's fine. That's their decision. But I think the freedom fighters of the world need to follow suit and take their kids out of the schools that are doing that, you know, focused on indoctrination.
I'm very opinionated on this subject, which I'm just going to leave this here, and I'm going to make my opinion. I'll let you comment on it, and we'll close with some of the thoughts you have on the situation. But to me, this is a criminal charge for parents, that when parents are taking their own fears and they're doing psychological damage to their children without looking at the data, taking the accountability for what the real data is saying, exposing their children to a mandatory, to a risk on a experimental vaccine, and then subjecting them to the policies built around a virus that has less lethality than the common cold. There is a criminality that needs to be extolled on parents of a severe nature that they must never be forgotten. The problem we have at this point in time is our parents have assumed that their children are theirs to do with as they wish. And I believe very strongly that as we follow God's laws, that there is a responsibility that every parent has to the child that is far beyond anything they want, which ultimately is the duty to raise this child in a world without fear, to protect them from the fears, not inoculate them with the fears that the parents hold in their own heart. And ultimately that goes back to a relationship with God. So I guess in these closing thoughts, how do you reach these parents? How do you awaken those that have decided? And I understand your position, it's their body, their choice, but it really isn't in a way, because it isn't their body, their choice to decide to inoculate a child with fear and destroy their light. That's not a God-given right. That's a torture that they're putting on their children. So what do you say to parents that are making this decision? Well, I understand the sensitivity of it. There has to be something said to these people because they have to be held accountable.
You know what I'm doing, Scott, is I'm really, really working very hard to educate these parents and make them aware. Like, I have brought in experts to my school who have spoken about masks and the dangers about masks. I have brought Dr. Pilevsky came and spoke about the COVID injection. So I'm trying to educate parents so that way they're empowered to make the right decisions. There's one thing that I want to comment about when you were talking about the quotes from earlier. And there's one injection that I really like to spend a lot of time talking about when I talk to parents is the hepatitis B injection. And I'm sure you're familiar with this, but this is the vaccine that they give babies at 1 day old. And this is what I say to them to get them to think. Because most of the time when I mention the word vaccine, I immediately see parents shut down and you could feel the anger in their hearts. And I say to them, just calm down for a second and hear me out. You say vaccines are safe because your doctor said so. Do you know what the hepatitis B vaccine is? And then I go on and explain, you know, the hepatitis B vaccine that they are giving a 1 day old baby has, first of all, 10 times the amount of FDA allowed aluminum. That's first of all. Second of all, it's supposed to prevent somebody, protect them from somebody who you know, is using needles, and that's how you can get this disease through drug, intravenous drug use, or through sexually transmitted disease. Okay, that's what they're protecting a 1 day baby old, which, keep in mind, they can actually test the mom before the mom delivers the baby for hepatitis B. Okay, and then I take it another point and I say, and here's another thing, that vaccine, the antibodies are supposed to only last for 10 years. So in the name of science, in the name of protecting your baby, they're giving your baby this injection to protect this baby against something that they will never experience in the next 10 years. Okay? And pharma makes a ton of money on this. So you tell me, should you be blindly listening to your doctor when they have no problem giving this injection to your 1 day old baby? And I tell parents, if you don't stop and ask these questions, you are serving your child into something that you have no idea if your child is going to wake up the next day. You don't know that. And you don't know if your child is going to be damaged when they're 2 or 3, because it often takes that long to figure out if their brain is healthy. And so the only way I can combat this is by educating parents, because at the end of the day, you know, whether, you know, we believe it's right or wrong, we can't control what they do. I have to take this in the route of priming their mind to be open to the possibilities that the pediatricians don't always know what they don't know. And many of them don't even know what's in these vaccines. I mean, they're giving children 72 vaccines. When I was a baby, I only got 4, but I heard the average number was 12, but I remember I only got 4. And so what has changed in our world from 1986 until now? 1986, it was 12. Now it's like 72. And the only thing that's changed is pharma has no liability. They have zero liability. And if your child is maimed or injured or dies, pharma, there's zero recourse against pharma. And if you want to sue, you got to sue the government, which is our taxpayer dollars. And it's not easy to get paid on that. It's virtually, you know, it's super hard. And even though they've paid over $4.4 billion in claims over the last 20 odd years, there's so many more people that should have received money and they haven't because it's very hard to get it. So I just tell others, the only thing that we can do at this moment is pray for their minds to be opened to the possibility so they can protect and save our children. And let our children live free, healthy lives. And educate them on what's out there and start with the hepatitis B vaccine. Because that should open parents' eyes to the fact that something far sinister is happening with our children.
It's very well said. Well, Layla, it's been great having you on the show. I always close the show with a prayer. And I'd like to do a prayer if that's okay with you.
Yes, please. Any of your patrons that want to pray for me, I'll take as many as I can get. It's been a very, very tough week.
We'll give you plenty. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to bring together yet another story of the challenges that we face and putting priority in this world on the most important gift you give us, our children. Lord, may you guide us in these days ahead to stand boldly, to be what you intend us to be the voice that protects the innocent and those that have no voice. May you guide Layla and her family around her to continue to be that light, to illuminate the darkness that is descending upon your children, to awaken the hearts of the parents that are misguided by fear, and to give strength to the many, to stand boldly and speak boldly in this time, to protect your children and to give them hope and a life of freedom in the days ahead. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Layla, thank you very much for being on the show today. It's very humbling, and it's a very settling story that you share. And I hope that for our sake, we know that you'll be victorious. You have our support, and I hope that we will continue to see more with the courage that you have in the days and weeks ahead to stand for the children and continue the glorious work that you're doing.
Thank you, Scott. I really appreciate your time today, and this was an amazing conversation. I enjoyed every second of it, and thank you for getting the message out. And yeah, I just appreciate everything that you're doing for humanity.
So, Patriots, a rather moving interview and a rather telling story of this type of fight that we're really in. It's easy to look at the extremes, like I said at the beginning, not to diminish any of those, but the fact of the matter is that children all over the world are being targeted and destroyed, and the destruction is at the level of their soul. This program, by all accounts, is an MKUltra program that's been launched on humanity. Sadly, too many parents have been brainwashed to realize that they're part of it. In fact, the parents that are believing in this fear, putting their children in masks, having their children inoculated, they've lost their way beyond measure. And as I said, I feel very strongly that those parents must face accountability, extreme accountability, for being so willfully stupid. I'm not very tolerant of willful idiocy. I'm not very tolerant of people that decide and make a choice with the gifts that God gives us to think, to question, to reason, to willfully place their head in the sand, to follow the TV as if it is the voice of God itself, to turn their backs on God, and then take that same idiocy and destroy the greatest gift that God has given us, the children. As a society, as a world, as humanity, we carry a great burden right now, and it's a burden that we all have to face because not enough of us have stood up, and too many of us have put our head in the sand while children have been sacrificed on so many levels. For the pursuit of material wealth, for the pursuit of retirement accounts, for the trap of indebted slavery. We've outsourced our children to institutions to take care of the schooling that God entrusted us to do. We've outsourced our children to the communities of state-run education systems to do the parenting that God entrusted us to do. All the while willfully watching as God was stripped from these institutions and the children were stripped from the one thing that we were expected to do, to ensure the children were raised in such a way as to love God and expand His kingdom. For that, we all must repent, and we all must place ourselves before God and humbly and ask for forgiveness. But we are not to stay on our knees. God doesn't expect us to stay on our knees. We now have to stand. And once we have accepted that accountability, whatever few remains, whether it's 300 or 7,000, whatever few remains as that stand with God must stand boldly and not let this tyranny persist. We need swarm attacks of people on digital media. We need protests in the front of every Planned Parenthood outfit in this country, men and women alike, unified in their love of God. We need communities coming together, standing together, offering to help each other to get children out of public schools. We need an awakening of the love of children. America's great awakening and America's future is going to be written by how we treat our children. Every nation's future is written on how we treat our children. So I ask you to reflect carefully. There are those that find it important to waste their time plotting and planning on social media to do damage to one account or another because of their butthurt way of living, because they feel that they're righteous and had their feelings hurt, when the real war is out here with humanity getting crushed. We have people who claim God but then turn around and stab somebody in the back because their feelings got hurt. They're not righteous. They're products of the devil. And they've turned their back on God. Every person that took the shot has turned their back on God. For those Christians out there that have accepted Christ in your heart, Christ is still there, but you turned your back on God. And there is an accountability that must be made. This is a time when we must stand together, put aside our pettiness, which humans seem to do a wonderful job at, and start focusing on the real fight. For those of you worrying about whether you're going to get access to the grocery store or this or that, you have the tools to take charge of your life. But the most important fight before us are the children. If we don't set an example of how we fight, of how we stand, how we defy this tyranny, our children will never learn the way. We can sit all day long and wring our hands or turn our back or try to ignore the problem. But at the end of the day, it is our responsibility to stand up and fight. And it's the fight, ultimately, for the next generation and the generations yet unborn. Once again, this is a story of a woman standing up in this fight. And I admire this and acknowledge the patriotism that she gave. And so, women, I'm putting it out to you. This is your rally call. It is time for you to stand up for the children that you have been given by God to protect. I don't know where the men are, and hopefully, men, you'll get off your butt and start backing up the women, because apparently in this culture right now, too many men sucked down too much soy and forgot what it was to be a man. But now, since the women are on the lead of the fight, men, back them up. It's that simple. Women, take the lead. God's offering it to you. Do not hesitate. Take this fight and take this fight ruthlessly and fight for the children. That is your gift that God gave you, and it is your right to protect that, and we need that. And with that, I will pray, as we will all pray, that more men will stand up and quit playing whatever they're playing and whatever they're dreaming, whatever video games running through their head. They'll start pulling their head out and start realizing that this fight is about all of us together. In the end, the one thing to remember, men, You are accountable for your household, whether or not your wife takes the lead in the fight, because God structured it that way. So let us pray for the households. Let us pray for strength in us together. Let us pray for the love of God and the love of children to unite us in this fight, to press forward, and to take back the freedoms that they want to steal and the lives they want to crush. We will not win this fight in the long term unless we do. We will not. We will be judged, and we will survive entirely on what we do to save the children. So, let us pray, let us rise, let us fight. As I have said for over a year, well over a year, this phrase should ring in your heart. In the end, fighting is everything. Buckle up. Get your boots on. Throw on your pack. Polish your sword. The sword of the Spirit is what you wield. The fury of what they're doing to your children is your fire. Do not relent until we win. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent, always press in. Let us be thankful for the many women who have taken the courage to stand up in this fight, and I am truly thankful. God bless you. So now take the reins. Don't hesitate. This is your time. Lead, don't follow. Anyone who gets in your way, clear the way and keep pressing in. God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. But it is up to us to do our job as faithful Christians and followers of Jesus Christ. We do not harm the little ones. And let us pray for the fury and the fire that needs to be relit in the hearts and souls of the men. In the end, God wins. Let us all be there in victorious stance as we watch the enemy burn to the ground. God bless our children. Have a blessed night, Patriots. I will be back in approximately an hour for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again.
Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.